The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Winches and scallywags, rugrats over 18 years of age, prudes, avert your ears and eyes. The Asylum Studio brings to you a show to bend your mind and implode your morals. Ethics be damned. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Chaos and Disorder.
Toil, toil, toil. After a much, much needed week off, after what, two, three straight weeks in a row, Chaos and Disorder is back. I am your host with the most, the talent, Rick Flieger, and joined as always by the gray-haired anger generator, Wilford Brimley's doppelganger, the reason child psychologists exist, creepy Uncle Rick Briggs. And on the ones and twos, what he lacks in talent and effort, he makes up for in alcohol abuse and confusion. Half past, too old to be this type of hipster, Rick Briggs before photo, Mr. Alejandro Finkelstein. I was hoping I'd get a yay. I was particularly proud of that one.
That one was excellent.
Hey, head on over to Twitter at Chaos and Disorder if you want to find Rick Briggs' full review of the Fooshnickens discography. You can find all of my newest banana hammock reviews over on Facebook at Chaos and Disorder Pod. And to be a part of the show, and I don't want you muddying up the waters, reach out to our one and only, our one and only show email box at Septuagint. I can't even say that word. See, he made this one too confusing. Head on over to Septuagenarian Skeezer Party at Hotmail.com.
I would prefer Asylum Football at gmail.com.
What is this? What I told you, there's only one.
Or Chaos and
Septuagenarian Skeezer Party.
Gmail.com.
Septuagenarian Skeezer Party. Hotmail.com. Check it out. That's where you'll get the most immediate response.
And you
response.
Know, if you got diabetes, we'll send you a box through your door.
See, I actually, here's what people don't know. It's the show before the show, which is actually the good show. This is crap, the filth that goes on that Mr. Sensitive over here won't let us talk about once the microphones turn hot.
Well, maybe I'll tell the story that I was telling you before.
Well, I don't know. That could be dicey. Which one?
About the
oh, yeah, that would make me excited. But you called it, as part of that story, diabetes. I assume you were doing shtick, and that's not how you actually say it.
That's Wilford.
But that brought Wilford into my consciousness, and thus, and yeah, you could kind of look at it. I mean, you're old and gray, so you have that in common.
I'm crotchety like Wilford.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You are angry.
I am a lot handsomer than old Wilford, though.
You think?
Oh, yeah. My Lord. Jeez, not even close.
Is that the bar by which you...
I mean, that's like comparing Jack Elam to James Dean, and I'm James Dean.
Which one was Jack Elam?
You know, the old cowboy actor, one eye went this way and the other eye went this way.
I actually do know who you mean, yeah.
He's in like 9,000 films.
So you're the cross-eyed guy the James Dean
James
guy?
James Dean, of course.
James Dean means something different to people like me and Finkelstein, but we won't go down that road.
True.
Just be careful where you search James Dean's name and how you spell it.
I don't have to worry. I know who James Dean, was.
Yeah.
So.
And now there's a new one, and their careers, while in the same milieu, aren't exactly parallel, if you know what I mean.
It's all in cinematic marvels.
True.
Cinematic film, huh?
Oh, Lord. Is there anything at all worth talking about? Let's talk about your
God,
knee.
No.
Let's talk about that.
There's no hockey. There's no basketball. There's no football news. There's no anything.
Do you care about the basketball, even an iota?
Well, a little bit, because I kind of, me and my son talk about it a lot because he's really into the NBA. So, you know, I pay more attention to it than I normally should. And kind of proud of myself because I took the Celtics way back, you know, to take this thing.
Yeah, well, all that painstaking research you put into
it. No doubt. But I picked the Bucks last year, and he just befuddled why I keep picking the winners here, and I don't even pay
you
any
never,
attention.
Never watch any of it.
No.
This is usually the time of year I can get into it.
Normally, truthfully, I think the Warriors are going to spank them. But
Boston defends.
Yeah.
I mean, it all comes down to Tatum. Is he healthy, and can he average 35 a game? Because that's the formula, right, with that defense. Now, this isn't the Warriors teams of 5, 6, 7 years ago.
No.
Yeah, on a given game, you know, Curry can go out there and get hot, but he's, what, about a 38% three-point shooter this year? Not sure where he is in the playoffs. He's, I mean, obviously a threat, but not what he was. Klay Thompson still hasn't. He's been good, but he hasn't been great. I think his team's beatable. Draymond Green's going to do something stupid. He's already out there yapping already, causing a stir. He'll kick somebody in the crotch at some point and get himself suspended again. So,
yeah, well, he should.
It's hard to say, but usually this is when I can get into it. My problem is, you know, I tuned in Boston, Miami. Every game's a blowout. Every game. Even seven-game series, there's seven blowouts. You know, normally, in a normal NBA season, in a normal NBA game, you don't even turn it on until there's 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, because it just doesn't matter. Then it's going to get close, and they're going to go, and they're going to play. Now these things are over in the first six. But you turned on that one game. I think it was Miami was down 18-1 already. By the time I turned it on, 18-1? Really?
Yeah, you make a sandwich before the game starts, and you miss. And I saw one of the most ludicrous tweets ever. Concerning the NBA playoffs, it said there's so much inconsistency in the NBA playoffs. There's too many blowouts. The travel must be getting to the players. Should they just take a central neutral site so they don't have to go anywhere?
So is that to imply before 2022 they were teleporting players from arena to arena?
No, apparently, because these athletes, the travel must just get to them.
But every athlete before them has traveled.
And in the same year, NHL is providing the best hockey I've seen in a long time, and they're traveling from Edmonton to St. Louis or wherever. So why are you electronically ticking things over there?
Yeah, electronically ticking things. Don't do that.
Yes.
I shan't anymore.
For shame.
Please not.
That is so stupid.
The travel is affecting these 25 and 30-year-old guys playing basketball.
Well, and that's stupid, too. First of all, it ain't all that far from Miami to Boston. Second of all, it wasn't the home team doing all the blowing out.
No.
You know what I mean? I get it throughout an 82-game NBA season. Right, there's going to be games where teams just aren't interested. Right, I get that. I understand that.
But it's not a big the playoffs.
Right, it's a big reason I don't watch regular season NBA basketball, because at the end of the day, they really don't care. But whatever, I can get it. Right, 82 games is a lot of basketball games, so fine. But when you get in the playoffs, you find yourself down 10 early and just say, "Ah, the hell with it. We'll give her a shot Friday." You know what is this? It's that.
I know.
If you're not getting good games, well, last year the Bucks Suns series, what did it end up being, a 5-game series, I think, but every game was great. Every single game. I can watch now this year.
Yeah, before we came on air, we were talking about the Avs Blues series just this past week.
Right.
Yeah, it was a 4-2 series, but every game was just knockdown drag out. It was like, yeah, St. Louis and Colorado, they hate each other.
Yeah.
What a series, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, not basketball, like you said. I mean, it was just like, okay, it's 125-86 Boston, and the next week it's 119-90 Miami. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, the series before, and Phoenix goes to a game 7 and loses by 40 and could have lost by 80. I mean, one of those weird years, but I would, while being a rabid basketball fan, being a very, very casual NBA fan, and they can't pull me in this year. It might just be a weird season.
Speaking of basketball.
Speaking of, let us.
Our past winner of our fabulous prizes in our NCAA pool.
Okay.
Pedro,
yeah.
I saw him on Twitter today.
Oh, I thought you saw him like in town or something.
Yeah, we went out to dinner at the Chop Shop. No.
Oh, you should. Get him some poutine.
But he was on Twitter. He graduated high school.
Oh, so he's just a children's.
He's just wet behind the ears, but he knows his basketball.
Pedro's a children's, huh?
There we go.
I wonder, we get in trouble for that?
What?
No.
Like gambling with minors?
I mean...
Oh, I'm obviously flunked 2 years. He's at least 19.
27.
He's 20. and just graduated.
All right, well, that's good. As long as he's dumb, yeah, that works in our favor. And
obviously, and he would listens make, to the show.
Yeah, it would make the argument for...
who we are, right?
Yeah, it would make the argument for him being a fan of this drivel, so that's good. So good on you, Pedro.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's doing. Going to Harvard, Yale?
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to get a contact him later and find out. Yeah, maybe he's going to contemplate during the summer.
He could always call in live.
Yeah, he could. What's the number?
Right. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Producer.
It's all covered up.
I knew he couldn't pull it.
215-383-3840. Again, that's 215-383-3840.
I'm not convinced you said the same number twice, but I'm going to go with it just because I enjoy your fake radio voice.
Thank you.
Give us the game show number one more time.
The game show number? Oh, yeah.
That's what it sounds
call in
like.
And play for a fabulous prize.
Yeah. For a fabulous prize on Chaos and Disorder, call 215-383-3840.
All right. We'll let that go.
See, that's getting you. There's way too many threes in there, and I can tell it's just completely bamboozling you.
the dyslexia really is.
Just
press three for a while, okay?
I don't want to burn an entire segment on this like I did last week, but I just got to get out once again how much I cannot stand this nonsensical fantasy league that this dunderhead has put together.
I think we deserve a boo.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's going splendidly.
Hey, since the good news is, since we last talked 2 weeks ago, at least seven players have been drafted, so that's pretty good. We're making good progress.
We're on number seven.
just interminable
nonsense.
And you can never take a leak, right? You know, apparently there's 13 other jackasses in this league who do nothing but sit there with their joint in their hand and their tongue hanging out of their mouth waiting, pass, pass, pass. Literally, I can get in the car. It takes me 8 minutes to drive from work to here. And I get assailed every time I do it because I'm not paying attention to the league. Am I the only one with a job? J-O-B. Job. Am I the only one?
Pretty close.
It's probably.
Just
I don't
maddening.
Know. I mean, I work my fingers through the bone.
Oh, yeah. No, bone at this point.
I'm telling you, I am exhausted. I mean, I've got a lot more years on you guys.
Well, I don't know about a lot of work, unless you consider alcoholism work.
I'm just
during the week sometimes.
I'm offended, quite frankly.
Yeah, you're offended.
Why do you find it amusing that I'm offended?
Offend you with a 12-pound sledgehammer. So what do we have to do to escalate this thing to get it where everybody only has a dollar, so then we're basically just drafting?
We're real close.
No, we are not.
Except for two teams.
I think you just roll with it. If you don't want to participate, there's a pass button. You hit pass, forget about it for 4 hours, and quit complaining.
Well, and the other thing is I continue to remove myself from the group text threads. Whoever's putting me back in can kindly stop it.
I'm not putting you back.
I wouldn't put you
back.
I
am telling
you. It was paid.
You know, you get the Bing in your vehicle now. You got these. I could drive that fancy spaceship.
The Bing.
Yeah.
It hooks up
to my radio, and then every time a text message gets through, it'll bing, 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 bing. Well, I work in a place with no cellular service, right? I got Wi-Fi calling.
What's the difference between a Bing and a ping? You know, like a submarine has a ping.
A ping's higher pitched.
Okay.
A Bing's more obnoxious, callous.
Then why was Bing Crosby a smooth, velvet-voiced critter?
Did you ever hear about what was going on behind the scenes with Bing? He would womp that ass is what he would do, so that was a Bing. Bing right upside the dome piece, if you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, no wonder he was happy.
Yeah. Yeah, he got all his anger out on his family, from what I've heard. But so in that 8 mile drive I have that I mentioned before, so I'll get outside where I have the cellular service and it will bing, ping, bling, whatever you want to say it, the whole freaking way home, and it's driving me out of my mind.
Why don't you put your phone on silent?
The vehicle just does it.
Don't hook it up to the vehicle.
It does it itself. I don't ask it to.
Well, then that just means...
Stop texting! Go to work! That's what I want you to do!
Is smarter
just
than
go
you.
To work! If you want to bid on somebody, bid on him! I don't need to hear
his
9
car is smarter than he is.
I don't need 15 minutes of conversation.
He doesn't know how to work his car.
Drives me insane. Still no satisfaction.
I thought you got a little bit last week.
I got none. I don't know if you noticed. So last week I was taking people to task for spending all their money. I switched up my tactic to where I'm trying to spend it all so I can just turn my phone off, go full off-the-grid Grizzly effing Adams, and you can just send me a smoke signal when it's time for everybody to just bid a dollar. I can't take it anymore.
I think you're a disgusting human being, quite frankly.
It drives me nuts. And then what? We're 2 weeks away.
And, you know, it breaks me so much joy. Have you ever seen me so happy the last few weeks? This is wonderful. No. I mean, it is. And I mean, look at his chromosome. It's like red. It's like it's sunburned, but it's not. It's just, you can fry an egg on it. It's beautiful.
Nonsense. I can't believe you're all right with this.
What?
All day with the binging and the bonging in your pocket. Well, who am I kidding? You're chief among them in the text thread. LOL, JK, FMLA, whatever that bullshit. All that's nonsense.
See, I'm an old guy. I write out my
words. Oh, no. You're the, I almost said the F word again. You're the gift king or the meme king or what do you call it, all the dumb pictures and the videos and all over with all over with the Twitter and the Grizzly Adams thing you're sending to everybody. You become the gift guy. You're the gift guy. We're going to get you a business card. Rick Briggs, gift guy.
You know, I do believe Alejandro. He is insane because what he's saying is totally fun. Grizzly Adams. I haven't seen a picture of Dan Haggerty in 40 years.
Well, whoever it is, Hillbilly Jim, I don't know who it is, but anytime anybody says anything on Twitter you like about some 1942 rock musician,
no,
you send the picture of the guy with the beer going.
That's Robert Redford and Jeremiah Johnson.
If everybody, you can't see me being this in audio, but I'm shaking my head knowingly.
Was that a knowing
that
look?
That was a knowing shake. Yeah, it was a knowing head nod.
That looked like a total blank stare like Charlie Manson, for God's sake. You knew nothing, but I want to kill somebody.
Well, I am angry. Yeah. So I'm crossing the streams, if you will. The emotions running. And think about it. And
Ted Bundy, he's not. He's not cool under pressure. Look, he's Charlie. He goes right off, man.
And don't forget, we are, what, 3-4 weeks away, and I don't want to assail him because this is an actual legitimate league run by an actual legitimate adult. But we're 3 or 4 weeks away from the Scott Fishbowl starting. So now I got this BS going from every direction. All day long with a bing and a bong. I'm going to have to get a second phone for all the binging and bonging because my phone probably isn't equipped to handle it all.
I'm fine with it.
Ugh, it's maddening.
I think we broke him.
Make it end. Just make it end.
I think you got diabetes.
I might have. It's giving me the diabetes.
Speaking of diabetes.
Smooth transition.
Tuesday, I had to go to the doctor.
Oh.
As you know, I'm getting under the knife here rather soon.
Lobotomy.
$6 million man.
So I had to go for
bottom surgery, I believe they call it.
It was a neuropathy test, which neuropathy apparently is a disease of the nerves. They wanted to check.
So not sexually transmitted.
It probably could be.
No, it might be. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. I'm looking out
so
for
anyway.
It.
Syphilis, maybe?
No, that's not the same thing. That's,
you don't know that.
That's Swiss cheese.
Are you
brain.
A doctor?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
He's Dr. Giff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Giffs and the head nodding guy. Hate it. Stop it.
Who you don't even know who it is, which
Stop
is hysterical.
It. Doesn't matter who it is.
Anyway,
annoying is who it
anyway,
is.
Anyway, so I had to go to get these neuropathy tests. Now, what it is actually a 2-stage test, if you're not familiar with it. And what they do is they stick things in certain places on your legs where apparently nerves are. And
see right there, you put a picture of Colonel Sanders. Quit pretending like you don't do this.
You know what's really sad is he has no clue who that is.
That's Colonel Sanders.
He has no idea who that is.
That is Colonel Sanders if I've ever seen it.
And you know his picture, don't you?
Yep.
He has no idea who it is.
We're going to roll with Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. So anyway, what they do is they put these, you know, little electrode things where there's nerves. And they send electronic impulses, and apparently they wait for a signal back to the computer from the nerve. Well, if they don't get a strong enough signal, they increase the current.
Fired up.
which hurts.
It hurts, man.
Yeah. So, anyway, you feel the first one. It's like a little sting. But I found that they were not getting the signal they apparently wanted because it would hurt more. And then it would hurt more again. And then, like, the fourth time, my foot is, like, twitching, and I'm, like, coming up off the table. And he says, "You okay?" I said, "No, it hurts." So he goes,
"Can you imagine being Rick Briggs' doctor?"
No, I cannot.
I mean, just to have the agitation that it is his baseline. Now he's having a medical issue, and you're in charge of it. Can you imagine?
And you're causing specific pain.
Yes, intentional.
And ramping it up.
I think he was having fun, quite frankly. But anyway, so they did it, and this took a while. I mean, you know, they went, you know, from basically the thigh down to the foot. And after they do the leg that's getting the surgery on, well, we're going to do the other leg for comparison. Oh, good. So we go through the whole process on that. So I figured, okay, he finally gets down there, and it wasn't quite as bad on the other leg. But anyway, it still hurt. So he gets done. He goes, "Okay, we're done with stage one." He goes, "Stage two." He shows
pulls
me
out
these
a taser.
He shows me these needles attached to electrodes. He goes, "I'm going to stick these in you." And what he does, different places in your muscles, all over your legs, they stick these needles in. And the computer, it's like hooked up to the computer, and it once it's in your muscle, it's like, he goes, "Okay, now flex your muscle." So I flex my muscle, and the computer goes, and it hurts like hell. So
after you hit him, what happened?
So
wait, quick question: did your wife go with you?
No.
Okay, so just me. She didn't pay him off for this.
No.
Okay.
No, unless it was in secret. I know of.
Prearranged. Yeah.
So anyway, that goes on for, I don't know, another 20 minutes, you know, sticking these needles. And the funny part is they had you put on these paper shorts that looked like big boxer shorts over your underwear so your legs were bare. So I go to put, you know, when he's done, you know, I go to put my pants on. And there's, like, blood all over my legs. It's like,
they
okay,
cut you?
With the needles, yeah. That was really fun.
There's no way this is a sanctioned medical practice. There is just no way.
So,
you've
anyway,
been hoodwinked.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, Colonel Santos. So, anyway, he comes back in, and he's looking at the thing. He goes, "Well," he says, "you do have neuropathy." And I said, "Okay, what's that?" He goes, "Well, it's a disease of the nerves."
And not sexually transmitted.
I said, "Okay, you know, I mean, I don't like the sound of that." I said, "What does that mean?" You know, and he goes, "Well," he goes, "it's really mild." And he says, "It looks like you've had it for a long time." So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I've had it for a long time. You know, I don't feel any different. So,
and to be fair, you've been alive a really long time. So said, long time's relative.
I said, "So is it in both legs?" He goes, "Yes, it's symmetrical." Great. Okay. Well, you know, it's pretty consistent. I said, "Well, what causes that?" He says, "Well, there's a number of factors."
Of course.
And he goes, "It could be diabetes."
Diabetes.
You know, well, I don't have diabetes, you know, because I never had Liberty send me a box. So,
So, it makes sense now. Yeah. How I know.
You
right?
Remember the product name. That's impressive.
Exactly.
Recall.
And then, so he says it could be lack of vitamin B. I think it was 6 or 12 or maybe both, something like that. So I'm thinking, you know, I eat red meat. You know, I eat meat. That's all. You know, I got plenty of vitamin B. He says it could be lack of folic acid. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, that's a possibility because I have no clue what that is. He says, or... he says one of the one factors is it could be a period of alcohol abuse.
Oh, no.
And I said, "Bob, obviously that's not the case." So.
Well, there it
Pat,
is.
Then Pat Sajak walked out. And Lana, you know, lit up the thing there. And
we have hit on it. We have found the cause. Well done.
But
well
just
done,
to let you know. That hurts.
So you've never had the pleasure. So I, not to this level. There was no paper shorts and no blood taken from, no bloodletting. When I had my ACL done a few years ago, I had the same thing happen in my, what's this, your thigh, your quad, is it the same thing?
Your leg.
It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do coming off the surgery, but through all my, because that was like the test to get you off the crutches, is that had to get built back up. Because, yeah, I had one big fat leg and one skinny one for a long time. And so they did the same thing. Now, they didn't stick the probes that drew the blood and the leeches and whatever bullshit archaic thing you're going through. But they were doing that, and I wasn't feeling nothing. He says, all right, well, we're going to have to do a baseline, something about pain threshold. I'm thinking, hell yeah. I'm like, Iron Man, that's right. You got nothing on me. So he goes and jams that thing in my good leg and about levitates me off the table. And so then the fortunate part of that, then because it wasn't responding because the nerve was dead, the exercise was too dangerous because I couldn't feel stuff or whatever. So my physical therapy consisted of me going in there, paying them money to sit down on the table, have them hook me up to something that looks like a battery charger for your garage, and just hammer that thing every 15 seconds. So I imagine it's like those moments leading up to your execution, four times a minute for 30 minutes. It was awful. You're just sitting there white knuckling. Here it comes, all not yet. Oh, damn! Oh, I hated that so bad.
Have to make sure you watch what you eat before you go.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, because something going to come sliding out. I don't understand the paper shorts, though. Why couldn't you just be in your drawers?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but they were quite snappy. I mean, it would have probably went from anywhere fitting your daughter to Abdullah the Butcher. Oh, I mean,
one size fits all?
You betcha.
Did it have a drawstring in them or something?
Oh, no, but the elastic was like Snap-O. I mean, you know.
Did you get to keep them?
I could have, but I threw them away.
No, you should have brought them. You got to start wearing them to the studio. That's
that
the new required
nice, yeah.
uniform. I tell you what, that's our next prize. Call in, and we will send anybody who calls in before the end of the show a box of these paper shorts. And we could start. We could start the paper short mafia. That's what we'll be. Those will be our listeners. We'll have paper T-shirts made and everything.
Yeah, and that'll really catch on. Thanks.
If you join our OnlyFans page, you can get game worn Rick Briggs.
Oh, game worn.
Yeah, game worn.
See, now I am obsessed with starting the paper shorts mafia. I think we have to have that. Just send us a picture at Chaos and Disorder of you and your paper shorts, letting us know you're one of us.
I like it.
And we'll send you the paper. How much could paper shorts possibly cost?
Oh, I'm on it. In hospitals?
Oh, yeah. You probably paid $7,000 for them. Yeah. But if I just went on Amazon, I could probably buy some.
Well, let's see.
You believe we're in a half an hour into this nonsense
already?
The
memorials this week.
No Dustin Johnson, though.
No Dustin Johnson.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's sell some coffee and come back. I know you have a story you want to read on that. So, fear not, Finkelstein. We're going to take it easier on you here. We just need a little music, a little soft music in the background.
Soft music.
Because what we do for our clients and reach out at septuagenarianskeezerparty@hotmail.com if you want to advertise here on the show. If you send it in, we will forgo the pre-taped, and Rick Briggs will give you a live read.
That's right, because, you know, right now we're going to talk about Dead Sled Coffee. And, you know, Dead Sled, they have some of the craziest flavors, if you think about it, you know, some of the stuff that they mix together, but it's just fantastic coffee. Well, what they've come up with this month is mystery boxes.
Ooh.
And we dumped a bunch of bags of coffee into bins and randomly selected to make limited amounts of coffee mystery boxes. So what happens is, for $50, you get four bags of randomly chosen Dead Sled coffee and a coffee mug, a Dead Sled coffee mug.
Ooh. So to imply Dead Sled doesn't even know what it's going to be.
Exactly.
But it's going to be good.
It's good. It's going to be Dead Sled coffee. So go to deadsledcoffee.com and, you know, let's try some of the you know, Finkelstein, get on that.
There's great news.
Oh.
They just sold out of the mystery boxes.
Wow.
You have got to be kidding.
How about them?
We just got
because of that
email
live read
this afternoon.
It was that live read right there. Pushed it over the top.
But they are doing more mystery boxes in the near future.
All right. So check deadsledcoffee.com and make sure you stay up to date with the mystery boxes, because obviously this is a killer promotion, and they don't last long, because I literally got the email today in the real email box, not the
septuagenarian skeezer party at hotmail.com.
The one that actually our advertisers.
Oh, our business address, yes, not exactly. For the listeners. Okay, exactly. Yeah, we do have a business.
But dude,
one.
Go to deadsled.com, check it out.
Check them out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well.
Yeah, I bet they don't gif all day with the beard and the head nodding.
You know, let's jump to our story from our favorite golf journalist, Kyle Porter.
Can I cut you off just real quick? I'll let you get back to this. You weren't lying. I generally assume whatever you're saying is BS. So I'm on Amazon perusing the paper shorts because I'm now obsessed with starting the paper short mafia. Here's the size. You can choose between a 22 and 38 inch waist.
I told you.
If you're a little on the heftier side, between 24 and 42 inches. And here's my favorite, in the premium sky blue, waist 24 to 48 inches.
Wow. See, mine was navy blue, so I didn't get to the sky blue ones at least. But
disposable garments, boxers, shorts for men and women, disposable spa underwear. Here's my favorite one, travel. Is that to imply you can't wear linen shorts to travel, that when you're getting on that airplane, paper shorts are the only solution?
I don't know.
Were they, like, really comfy, like long car rides?
Oh, yeah, they were wonderful. You couldn't even feel them. I didn't even touch anything.
I'll tell you what. Road trip.
Paper shorts mafia, baby.
There we go.
All right, back to golf. I bet.
Yeah, back to golf. And
Kyle Porter wears them, I'm sure.
Why not? As much as he travels, wouldn't you?
Well, that's true. I mean, if that is required travel apparel, he's all over the country.
Exactly. But, you know, we do a lot of bashing on Kyle, but, you know, he makes a lot of sense in this. You know, Dustin Johnson, we talked about, $125 million offered to him to play on the LIV Tour. I don't know if they call it live, or, I mean, it's the LIV Tour, that Saudi.
That's new. It was always the Saudi Tour.
That's what
and then just like
it was,
this week, they started calling it Live LIV.
Right.
What would that be in Roman numerals?
54.
I don't know what it's supposed to be, but that just sort of appeared out of nowhere.
But anyway, $125 million. And, you know, a lot of people think he's going to get a lot of backlash, but, you know, like Kyle Porter said, I mean, like I said, we'll give him credit. It makes a ton of sense. If he can make $125, now he's been playing, he's age 37, he's made $74 million over the course of his career. If he can get $125 million right now and still can play in the four majors,
right,
that is just a no-brainer. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Oh, for him, yeah.
For anybody. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, even if you're a... Yeah, you say one of the middle of the road stars that maybe in his career has made $25 million and he's offered 50.
Right.
Well, if I get $50 million, I can still play in the majors. Why not?
You offer me $27.50 and a 10-pack of paper shorts, brother. I'll be on the first thing that flies out of here.
Well, yeah, but then you'd shoot 174 and go home.
Hey, I got my paper shorts, and I got enough for dinner. I'm there. I'm in.
Now, the funny thing is, it's obvious, you know, well, it's the Saudi money, it's the oil money, et cetera, et cetera. What happens if these stars go over and play and whatnot, and they're not getting a return on their jack? How long do these offers stick around?
Well, I think,
you know what I'm saying?
They're gone as quick as they come.
Well, that's the point. I mean, it's one thing to have a tournament, say like the Phoenix Open. We used to have PGA tournaments. Well, I mean, for an entire year before that, you know, the tournament director and the managers and so forth are scouring the surrounding areas for sponsorships, because that's where your purse and everything comes from. Right? So if you're, say, Rick Fligger and I own, I don't know, three State Farm insurance agencies, yeah, I'll give you $20,000. Not a big deal. If the tournament flops, that's fine. You're at $20,000. I'm not doing it next year,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're dumping millions and millions into this thing, and you know, there's no guarantee of return.
No, and I guess what they haven't announced, right? Who are the TV partners here? I mean, I am curious where they're getting their return on investment to this.
Right.
Because you wonder, right? Because you think every major network at this point has ties to the PGA Tour, and we know how the PGA Tour feels about this. They're threatening to fine, suspend players,
right,
tell them, you play in an event there, you can't play in another PGA Tour event, which I think Dustin Johnson will be the first test of that, right? What if Tiger comes out and says, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go over there and do it. You're going to find out real quick. They can start playing a game of chicken there. But that, anyhow, so we know the PGA Tour is taking a hard line against this. So I would think then that eliminates ESPN, CBS, NBC. Does Fox still do the U.S. Open? I mean, I think every network has their hands in the PGA. Well, that's not the PGA Tour, I guess.
Saying,
the
there
U.S.
You go.
Open,
the,
that's
the U.S.
USGA.
Open's the USGA. The British Open is the Royal and Ancient.
Right.
So, I mean, there's two of the majors right there that are, you know, above and beyond what the PGA Tour decides
right,
to do. So,
no, it would be interesting. You know, you talk about Dustin Johnson being able to play the four majors. In theory, if he holds the line here, Dustin Johnson wouldn't be able to play in next year's PGA. I mean, he could play in the other three, right? The Masters does whatever the hell they want.
Oh.
U.S. Opens, USGA, and the British Opens, whatever nonsense is going on over across the pond. But I would think you could be held out of the PGA Championship, which is the nubbiest of the majors, but it's still a major.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it is a major championship, and obviously any golfer would want to win it. But it's not the Masters. It's not the U.S. Open. It's certainly not the British Open.
No.
And, you know, so, you know, they're kind of up against the wall. They want to be hardline against it.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. It's going to be strange. It's going to be tough if 25 or 30 of the top guys start playing over there during the tour. I mean, because now the tour is going to start losing money. They're going to start losing the television deals and so forth. So, I don't know. This is just something to watch.
Are you ready for the LIV?
What is that?
Not me.
Where's that coming from?
I don't know.
That was weird.
Nonetheless.
Sure, why not? Maybe nobody's ready for the LIV.
Well, there's more noise. Where's it all coming from?
I don't know. It's yours.
Is it me?
Yes.
Nope, not me.
I don't see anything.
LIV, it is the Roman numeral for 54, which has two meanings. 54 is the lowest score you could shoot if you were to birdie every hole on a par 72
like
course.
Like Kim Jong-un, or was that Ill? One of them.
Un.
Yeah, one of them. They were good.
They were great.
So, there is an aspirational aspect. That's insane.
Ooh, it must be storming. The lights just blink. Yeah. Oh, here we go. If we get knocked off the air.
It is also the number of holes to be played in each event.
Even a 72-hole tournament.
Oh, see. Isn't so, you're getting nice? $125 million for three-quarters of the work.
I mean,
candy asses.
Right? The Chaos and Disorder Opens more than that.
That's true. There's three nines. You're playing 27 a day, baby.
Yeah.
three nines.
Right.
We need to get that. There it is. We're going to have the Chaos and Disorder Open. Our only requirement, paper shorts.
Yeah, you play in paper shorts.
Yeah, right.
That is awesome. It is all coming together. Finally, we've hit our stride. You can come over, you win the tournament, you get automatic memberships into the Paper Shorts Mafia. I mean, it's just everybody wins. You get your T-shirt, the whole deal.
51 episodes, and we finally did it.
Man, I tell you what, that is...
It's brilliant.
It is. I mean, you
Crendale's going to be butt-sized when they hear about this.
Yeah, I think the manager, he's probably on the phone right now.
He might be telling the whole lot.
Oh, hey, there is a call. Is it this
did we miss it?
Yeah, that's on me. That was probably Crendale. You're right.
Yeah, they were calling in.
Oh, way to go.
We don't do business on the show, so send it in, septuagenarianskeezerparty@hotmail.com, and Finkelstein will call you back.
Indeed.
Okay, I did a little research, believe it or not, mister.
You must spend extra time on the toilet this week.
Yeah.
That's where I do all my research.
So I got to thinking, you know how things just with all this money and everything is just so inflated, right?
True. I've heard this. I'm given to understand.
So I got to thinking about, you know, money being one, you know, how everything just seems to go up. Well, you know, Tiger's the leading money winner on the PGA Tour and so forth. So I got to thinking, what about per year? What is a record for a year? So, I dot on the old internet. Of course, everything you find on the internet
is true. And it's got to be true, absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, number one, according to this, was Jordan Spieth, which was over $12 million.
Now, this is just winnings.
But I eliminated him because
didn't count.
It was a $10 million bonus for winning the FedEx.
Oh, yeah, the FedEx. That's nonsense.
So I kind of threw that one out. So then I rolled up to number two. And that was Scottie Scheffler as of right now.
No.
Okay.
Good year.
Well, it's after entering the 20. See, it's kind of weird because the years flip-flop. Yeah. It's not like it used to be from January to December.
Right.
They kind of we're having a storm here, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, so
there'll be an awkward cut there. We lost power here in the studio. Apparently, the world is coming to an end outside, so the live broadcast is off the air. We've got a weird squeal, but welcome back in to Chaos and Disorder.
Right. But anyway, so then Vijay Singh won $10,905,000 at the age of 41 in 2004. You know, he won the PGA Championship and eight other tour events.
Oh, I remember that year, yeah.
He won nine. So, I mean, that was really the most legitimate one because that was in a golf year. And did we just go off the air again?
Nah, that was just the live feed kicking us off. I don't see us getting back in it. I don't think the internet's even back up yet.
So I tried to go back, and the best year that I could find was 1974 when Johnny Miller set the then record of $353,000 for a year.
I wonder what that is in today's money, though.
Well,
you did the calculations.
I did the calculations on that. But I only used his wins because I couldn't calculate the seconds and thirds and fourth and fifths. Just his wins in 1974, and most of those tournaments are still around. Westchester has turned into Northern Trust, and I mean, you know, they kind of some of them have changed, but just his wins would have been $10,946,000.
Yeah.
Just the wins, nothing else. I mean, that's an incredible year. I mean, that, you know, so
because that's back when frankfurters cost a nickel.
Yeah, exactly. Hamburgers cost a quarter.
That's right.
Beers cost 40 cents. Back when I was a kid.
When I was your age.
Look at him. He just staring. I think the electricity got to him.
He's chomping at the bit. He wants to get through the next break so he could do his USFL update.
Well, no, I thought that light over there was on prior to, and now it's not.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe we had a power surge, blew that light out.
How am I supposed to see in the booth?
See what?
What? What, you got diabetes or what?
I got neuropathy.
You can't yank it in the
it's
dark.
By
I would
diabetes.
Hope that's what you normally do anyhow.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Right. So, speaking of which, should we sell some sandwiches?
Let's sell some sandwiches.
All right.
And I had some other good stuff.
Oh,
we get
other
to
good
stuff.
No, I mean, we can save the best for last.
I don't understand this aversion to the USFL update. It's the only reason anybody's tuning in. You're not getting it anywhere else.
I am starting to warm up to it. We are the official USFL podcast.
Without a doubt.
Well, in Birmingham.
Apparently the power outage has taken away our commercial here.
You are fake news.
I certainly am not. That is what happened. Where in the world? There we go.
Well, I'll pad here while you're trying to find a commercial.
I got it.
I got it.
You set it down.
15 minutes later, you act like I was being impatient.
15 minutes. We're sitting here in the dark. I am holding this thing together with duct tape and popsicle sticks.
Exactly.
Every time the sprinkles outside, we lose power. I got a producer. The only thing he can produce is methane over there. It's a nightmare. But hey, eat at the Chop Shop. We're going to tell you how right now.
We would like to take this opportunity to tell you about our sponsor and friends, the Chop Shop in Butler, Pennsylvania. The Chop Shop is leading the way in the Western Pennsylvania area for good eats. With fresh menus, great specials, in-house made desserts, and the recently added iced tea, lemonade, and milkshake bar, you are sure to find something to fulfill that craving or hankering, and even a little something extra for that sweet tooth. Yep, they even have gluten-free and vegetarian options as well. You know, between Facebook, Google, Yelp, and TripAdvisor, they average 4.7 out of 5, and that's over a 10-year span, so they are consistently killing it. You can check them out on Facebook, but also at chopshopbutler.com, or do yourself a favor and visit them at 108 North Main Street, Butler, Pennsylvania, and tell them Flieger and Briggs sent you.
I don't know how far telling them Flieger and Briggs sent you will get you, but nice to let them know you heard it here anyhow.
Exactly. You know, Billy's a pretty nice guy.
He is. We're about due for a food drop, I think.
We can probably arrange that.
Getting about that time. I need to get my butt down there. I haven't been down there in a hot minute. I got to get down. For a while there, I was on a good run about every Friday, and I've gotten out of the habit.
Well, since we are the official
USFL
podcast the entire country.
We'll try and not be so hot this week.
Oh.
Yes, please not. Soothing music. We know it's exciting. Live from Birmingham, it's Alejandro Finkelstein's report on the USFL.
Thanks, Mr. Briggs.
You should do that again.
So, we mean this?
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Last week, week 7, the USFL saw New Jersey Generals at Tampa Bay Bandits in
Birmingham.
The Generals toppled the Bandits 20-13.
Your in Birmingham.
New Orleans Breakers at Michigan Panthers in
Birmingham.
New Orleans, of course, broke the Panthers 31-27.
You hear what he did there? The Breakers broke the Panthers. That's good. That's good radio.
Birmingham Stallions stay undefeated. Just laying the wood to the Pittsburgh Maulers.
You know, you like the Maulers, if I remember.
Oh, did he pick the Maulers?
I always pick the Maulers.
Yeah.
Are they still 0-for?
1-6.
One and six. All right.
Yeah.
You know, they can make a run here. You get to 3-6, might get them in. Who knows?
Is that what they play, 9 regular season games?
10.
Ooh, 10.
Oh, gee, maybe they can get to 4-6.
Ooh.
Wow. And
then we had Philadelphia Stars at the Houston Gamblers.
In Birmingham.
So stupid.
The Stars went for the ace in the hole and got 35 to Houston's 24.
That means they won.
Correct.
Hell yeah. I'm all about that action, boss.
In Birmingham.
I'm just about that action, boss.
And here we are. The week that Mr. Briggs said that the USFL would fold. Week 8. Finds the Pittsburgh Maulers at New Jersey Generals in
Birmingham.
Thank you. We're going to take the Maulers, of course, plus 310.
Plus 310.
Take the under, though, because, well.
They'll probably get shut out.
Correct.
In Birmingham.
Then we have New Orleans Breakers at Birmingham Stallions.
Oh.
In Birmingham.
I think New Orleans gets broke this week.
Well, they got their Breakers broken tightly previously in this matchup.
Damn it.
Take Birmingham because they're playing at home.
In Birmingham.
In Birmingham.
And the over, which is 44.5. We have Michigan at Philadelphia.
In Birmingham.
190.
So stupid.
Plus 190. Take the Panthers.
This goes much smoother when you're not around.
I mean, this shtick was cute for a while, but it's
also take the under. Why? Well,
because they suck.
Then finally we have the Houston Gamblers at Tampa Bay.
In Birmingham.
Thank you. Take Tampa Bay giving 5.5.
I disagree.
You don't get to disagree. He is the foremost USFL expert in the country.
And the over 44.5. Again,
in Birmingham.
In Birmingham. The Week 8 schedule parlays. The week that Mr. Briggs said the USFL would die, but is powering through with vigor.
I will laugh with glee if they decide to fold after this week.
Hey, we're going to Canton.
Canton?
Why?
What are you doing there? Wouldn't you go to Birmingham?
No, because the championship game is played in...
Canton.
Canton, Ohio.
So what? They play the whole damn season in Birmingham.
In Birmingham.
And in the
and
first
in
game that matters, they
off.
Pick it up and take
yeah. Sorry, Birmingham. Screw you. Thanks.
But it'll be all right because Birmingham will be in the championship game.
But not in Birmingham.
But not in Birmingham.
Correct.
In Canton.
Correct.
I'll have to get you saying in Canton.
Yeah.
How well, we just do for that one week. I mean, you got 4 more weeks to go.
That's true. It's going to be an exciting countdown. How many teams make the playoffs? 4?
He has no idea.
6.
Out of
8? 6 out of 8.
Yep.
Are you lying?
I am. It's 4.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Stupid show.
Jeez. That's just pathetic.
But what other podcast is giving you these incredible parlays?
Well, that's true. So have you done the math? If someone were to have bet with you since the beginning of this, where are they sitting?
Oh, I'm up a nickel.
A whole nickel. Nice.
No kidding.
One Frankfurter.
Yes. From 1923. You know, I came across a very interesting article.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
And, you know, it's true that athletes and athletics are getting better.
True.
More modern, you know,
right.
Bigger, stronger, so forth. But the head science writer for Sports Illustrated, David Epstein.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Epstein, yeah.
Not that
Put
one.
This out. This is like...
it's an unfortunate name.
Must have been about 2015, 2016, something like that. And he was doing a lot of research trying to...
As researchers are wont to do.
Well, no, he's a science writer.
Oh.
Didn't say science researcher.
Well, isn't that one
If you
one
would listen
same?
To what I said.
If somebody else does the research and just goes, hey,
but anyway,
write this up.
Here are a few facts.
Oh, facts. I like facts.
That he discovered through time.
Okay.
And the improvement of athletes.
All right.
Okay. In 2013, Usain Bolt ran a 9.7700. 1936, Jesse Owens was 10.2.
And that was considered like unthinkable at that time, wasn't it?
Right. Then he started comparing. And, of course, you know, Usain Bolt had blocks to put his feet against.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran on the specially fabricated carpet that they use on the track. Owens had a garden trowel to carve out starting holes in the surface made of cinders. Now,
cinders, is that like cement? Or like
no, it was
ash.
Burnt ash.
Okay.
They're kind of hard. Actually, when I was in high school, our track had cinders for the first year or so.
Okay. Then so it was like hardened, like.
Yeah, it was like hard, but it was loose.
Okay, it was loose. I guess what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, I couldn't come to the word loose for some reason.
Yeah.
Think of pea gravel.
Pea gravel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. But anyway, a biomechanical analysis determined that the added energy stolen from Owens' legs alone would have reduced the distance Owens was behind Bolt from 14 feet to less than half a stride.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so he furthered some of this analysis. 1954, Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile. Okay. 1,314 runners had done it by 2013.
Including Alejandro Finkelstein.
twice on a Sunday.
Yeah. Of course, Bannister also ran on cinders. Through the same biomechanical analysis, it was determined that cinders cause a runner to be 1.5% slower through the length of a mile. So what that did, you know, applying that to the 1,314 runners that had run the sub-4-minute mile, it cut it down to 530, which means less than 10 men per decade were breaking the 4-minute mile.
I don't know if I would have done it.
In Roger Bannister's time.
No, since.
If they were running in his time.
Yes,
right,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
With his equipment
or
and the cinders
right,
and the,
exactly.
the looseness and the such.
And of course, you know, pairing that with the training of today, where Bannister was a professor, he trained 45 minutes a day.
Well, he could run the mile 10 times, though. Think about it. 11.
Exactly. There you go.
Run 11 miles and get back to work. Egghead.
Now, then they went back even just a little further, like 1902. Everybody, you know, and up through probably about 50 years, you know, they thought that the ideal body type for athletic competition was the medium build. You know, because, like, if you were a medium build, you could be good at shot putting and you could be good at running and so forth like that. So what happened was, you know, a shot putter now, back in the day, a shot putter and a runner were basically the same size. Now a shot putter is 130 pounds heavier than a runner.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But not only that.
I mean, not a neck among them.
Yeah, exactly. But not only that, not only were some of the athletes getting bigger for certain events, the gymnasts, the average height was 5'3". Back, it was like in the 1930s or 40s, they went shrunk to 4'9". You know, and they were like seeking out these body types
right, yeah.
for these certain events and so forth. The average person equates, who's the best, okay, I'll just ask you guys, who do you consider, like, what country has the best distance runners?
Distance runners.
Long distance.
Was it Ethiopia?
Yeah, close. Kenya.
One of those. Kenya, yeah, that's what right. I was thinking of. One of those African nations.
And that's
yeah.
what he said. The average person
Are
equates...
they in Africa, or did I completely
no,
botch
no,
that?
No, you're right.
He's looking up into the sky like I said
it's
something
in
really
Africa.
Stupid.
No, I instantly started thinking of NOD. I went WWE.
NOD?
Nation of Domination.
Oh, okay.
You got diabetes. So anyway.
Diabetes in the brain.
Yeah. So anyway, the average person equates Kenyans to great distance runners, okay? The Kenyans consider the Kalenjin tribe of Kenya as great distance runners. In fact, they make up only 12% of the Kenyan population because they come from a unique geographical location. And throughout time, they have grown to have long, this is weird, long skinny legs because they do a lot of running in arid areas and high altitudes, okay? The example of this is 17 American men in history ran the marathon under 2 hours and 10 minutes.
That seems fast.
Well, it is. But in October of 2013, 32 Kalenjin men did it. So, I mean, you know.
So they're just saying, hold my beer, Yankee.
Exactly. Well, I guess his whole point, and one more example, was weird body types started to develop. Okay?
Like Michael Phelps.
Exactly. Michael Phelps is 6'4". And Hashim El-Garouch, I apologize if I mispronounced his name, but he's a world mile holder in 2013. He's 5'9". They have the same inseam.
Wow.
Exactly.
So is Phelps short-legged or is the other guy long-legged?
No, which means Phelps' torso and arms are extremely long.
Yeah. Well, they said he was built like a fish, basically, wasn't he?
That's the whole point of the thing. And that's what he was trying to say. It's not that man is developing into a new species, it's like that they have gotten so technical. It's like, gee, you look like a fish, Rick.
We're better at finding the people.
Yeah, you're going to swim.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah, we're having a storm here, folks.
What's going on out there? It's been a half an hour of this.
And you're 4'9", so you're not going to do a shot put. You're going to do gymnastics or anything.
Yeah.
You know, so that was just very interesting on how the modernization of equipment and training and everything has improved things. But they've gone from it's just not men getting together and competing.
Sorry, my wrist locked.
Oh, I thought he was telling you to hurry it along. I was waiting for you to snap. I got so excited.
I'm just wondering, when will the curling body types evolve?
Some of those Swedish curling teams and the Swiss curling teams, there's a body type, and I don't hate
Finns.
It. Yeah. Speaking of track, can you explain the triple jump to me? What the hell is the derivation of that? That doesn't even make sense.
It used to be called a hop, skip, and a jump.
Ah, see, that makes more sense.
I'm serious. I mean, you used to have to hop on one foot.
Yeah.
And then you would, like, I don't know what the difference between a hop and, like, a skip is. And then it would be, like, the regular jump at the end. And that's what it was. Now it's just a triple jump. But all they do is they run and they take these huge steps and then jump into the pit.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's like a layup in the NBA.
There is no traveling there.
No,
either.
There is none. You just run around till you can score. Yeah.
But that one always bothered me, right? Like, a race is a race. That makes sense. Any distance, whatever you want to send it to. The long jump, let's see which dummy can jump the furthest. The high jump, let's see what dummy can jump the highest. You know, we could jump even higher if we had a big stick and we could really fling it. They all make sense. Even the steeplechase, right? You know, sometimes
you're on a horse, being
chased by a lion and you got to jump over water, right? That makes sense to me. But the triple jump, hopping around like an idiot before I actually jump, but it always bothered me. I don't like it.
I don't know what to tell you on that one. I agree. It's kind of a strange event. Man. Like, why it was ever invented as an Olympic event. I can see, a hammer throw, because back in the day, I'm sure you used those, and shot puts and javelins and everything else. But, a hop, skip, and a jump.
I don't know. The shot put was always kind of weird. Like, all the spinning around, and it doesn't seem like an efficient way to throw something, no matter how heavy it is.
I'm sure it evolved, like, where they just took a run and then heaved it as far as possible, and then science got involved, and it's like...
Probably started off using cannonballs or something. I don't
know. I'm thinking Clayton Kershaw could just snap that thing up and snap it behind his ear and probably throw it every bit as far. I mean, he'd throw his arm out because he can't throw more than six innings, whether he's got a perfect game going or not. But
they're pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You ever do a shot put?
No.
They're very heavy.
No, I have the weird body type. They just had me jumping over stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't have the patience for the track team. A lot of standing around.
Yeah, that was always the worst. You know, my kids, my middle daughter was in track, and it was gruesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, watching them do the events was fine, but she might be in one at the beginning of the track meet.
And you got to hang out for 6 hours before anything else
happens. Yeah, and then maybe she's in another one, but it's not till, like, the last one or two, and it's like, this is gruesome.
And I came through high school at the time right when we were making that transition to where men had to wear women's underwear to compete in track. And
not
so,
paper shorts?
Yeah, well, not paper shorts. No. Then I would have been all in. I'd still be running track if it was a paper shorts event.
What do you mean you had to wear women's underwear?
Have you ever noticed it now? They all wear spandex and little shorty shorts and the whole thing. It's no good.
Makes you more aerodynamic.
Yeah, like Speedos. I'm not wearing
Speedos.
Even when I was in shape.
That was another
thing.
Yeah, worry
about something falling out of the bottom of these things.
No, you had to worry about that.
That one
anyway.
Dude at the combine doing the 40.
Yeah.
Blow out.
I think they ought to have paper shorts at the combine.
I agree.
Definitely.
You get a true weight on people anyhow. I mean, how heavy can paper shorts be?
Exactly.
I can't wait. The paper shorts mafia.
It is.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be a trend. It's going to be the biggest thing since Alice's Restaurant Massacre.
You're the commissioner. Required attire at the Caveman Draft. Required. Paper shorts.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It'll be a paper shorts party.
Everybody in paper shorts.
And then what we do is the three of us, as the night goes on, judge everybody's character and behavior, and we pick one or two people to elect into the paper shorts mafia. I'm not letting all those animals into it, but we'll see if there's mafia material out there.
Well, if we're judging behavior...
Well, we get to set the standards for behavior.
Yeah, but it really narrows it down in that gruesome
collection of group of drug addicts and criminals and I mean, it's awful.
It is. I mean, this is the three stalwart members right here in this studio.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm the moral compass of the group, I think, clearly.
We have the original Florida man and an international felon, so.
Yeah.
Florida man.
The OG.
That was fun.
OG, triple OG.
You know, I actually texted a buddy of mine. He's in North Carolina now, but he was...
Where I will be in 2 weeks, so you guys can do a show and I will call high on Larry's Lemonade.
We were, in Florida together. And, you know, we still stay in touch. It was, he's an original Florida man. He was born and raised there.
Can we do at some point... I don't know if I want to wait till Christmas, because then we get in the Christmas spirit, but a off-time drinking show whereby you're the center of attention and we just tell stories of Rick Briggs' past.
Probably not.
What do you mean, why not? You like to be an alcoholic. Like to bloviate. I mean, this show has got you written all over it.
Yes, but I can tell stories, but they would have to be fiction.
Well, yeah.
Hypothetical stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. You change the names to protect the identities. I knew a guy when I lived in Florida. His name was Nick Gliggs, and here's what he did. And plausible deniability. Plausible deniability.
I say, once he has this surgery and he's all hopped up on painkillers, we feed him a beer or two.
Yeah, are you going to get addicted to painkillers? That'd be pretty awesome.
No.
I'll tell you what, when I had my knee surgery, I started to find out how a guy could mess around and do it, right? It's just, luckily I don't have addiction in my past that I could kind of see it coming, but I was on my third refill of those things. You know, I went into it like every time, I ain't taking no pain pills, I'm a man. You know, 15 minutes after getting home, I'm like, bring them to me.
That I don't see. I don't believe that for a second.
What?
What?
That I'm not addicted to pain pills?
No, that you're Mr. Tough Guy and I wouldn't do that. You get a hangnail and you're whining like a little girl.
Well, that's the point I'm making. This is what I said going into it, and then my ass didn't hit the chair when I got home.
I thought it.
Yeah. Most of my life is a delusion of grandeur, right? True. We know this. So.
Right. Walter Mitty all over again.
So I'm on my third.
No chance he saw it.
I don't even know what that is. I just go right past.
He heard that one go over his head.
So I'm on my third refill of these things. My knee hasn't hurt in 6 weeks, right? Right? And I'm sitting there, and I remember watching TV. I don't remember what I was watching. Because one thing I still had to do every night for like hours was I had this one of those badass ice machines that it starts up like a lawnmower, and you fire it up, and it squeezes real tight, and it's about 8 below 0. I love that. I love that thing. I did that longer, and I had to, too, just because it felt so good. So I'm sitting there, and I pop one, follow it with a Coors Light, and I'm sitting there thinking, damn. I didn't need that one. I wanted that one. I got up and dumped them out and said, that's enough of that. I could start to feel it coming. I can see how a guy could get hemmed up on those things.
Well done, noticing it before.
Yeah. It was like the lightning bolt. It's like, damn.
I'm proud of you.
That one was for fun. That wasn't out of necessity. All right, let's get out of here. I'm tired.
You betcha. Thanks for joining us. We're Fligger and Briggs, and you're welcome.
If you had to go out in the streets today and explain to somebody what tonight's show was about, what would you tell them?
Chaos and disorder.
Yeah, I guess that sums it up. So, hey, check out all the show archives if you want to find.
If you think about it,
okay,
we are Chaos and Disorder from the Asylum Studios.
That's true. That's true.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
If anybody out there is really wondering,
it's not an
shame
act.
On
I
you.
Mean, this is just an inability to keep a rational thought, just nonsense all day. This is what we do.
Exactly.
Hey, and if this isn't enough for you, go back to the archives, asylumfantasysports.com. Of course, at Chaos and Disorder on Twitter, Chaos and Disorder Pod on Facebook, and email the show. Get your questions in. We will answer them. Septuagenarian Skeezer Party at hotmail.com.
Or Chaos and Disorder Pod at gmail.com.
Always muddy in the waters. Until next time.
Muddy waters. Take care.
I think that ship done sailed a long time ago there, cowboy.
Yeah, it was all like, oh, your episode's over. Do you want to reconnect? No, yeah. No, it's no. We're going home.
I delete that feed 15 minutes after the show's over. Anyhow, the audio quality is
it's horrible.
It's not even close.
So does it go out live in terrible audio?
Yeah, I presume, because I'm just then replaying it.
Interesting.
Oh, well. It's like really, really compressed. It's bad.
Well, hasta luego.
Bye, horse.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.